And let me make this announcement. This program is being recorded for broadcast and replay on our website, on Awakening Together Radio, and on our YouTube channel. Please be aware that by speaking or typing on the board, you give consent to have your comments become a part of the recording. And all right, mic's all yours, Regina.
So I guess I consent to having my comments be a part of the recording, huh?
Guess you better.
All right. Well, tonight I have decided to go back to the Nisargadatta Gita, which is what I shared from last week. And Jacqueline, I don't know if you know that I decided not to do I Am That every week. Yeah, I was getting bored.
Yeah. What are we calling your program now?
We're still calling it I Am That. That's basically what all of his stuff is about, right? You know, it's the moral of the story. But I was just getting a little bored with the actual book, I Am That. So this week I'm looking at quote number 2. And in fact, this book only has one chapter. It's called I Am. And then it says the first and the last chapter. One chapter in the book, but it's pretty thick, you know, it's just a long chapter. But I'm looking at the second quote in this particular book. And this book, again, has both quotes and then commentaries by the author, Pradeep Apte, or however you would say, A-P-T-E. So this is the quote number 2. Just stay put firmly and establish yourself in the I Am. Reject all that does not go with I Am. Again, just stay put firmly and establish yourself in the I Am. Reject all that does not go with I Am. And let me read the commentary. Having understood the I Am in every way, the next thing is to stay there. Establish yourself in your sense of being and not deviate from it at all. The very moment you start thinking about anything else, you can rest assured that there have been add-ons on the basic I Am, and it has lost its purity. Reject anything that is I Am plus, and so forth, because all the rest are contaminants and do not go with it. And of course, that's exactly what I do in meditation, and I do it in different ways and different days. I think, was it you, Jacqueline, that said something at the last retreat? Because I commented on that day, I really was saying reject, reject, reject. And you or somebody said that was too strong of a word. And I said, well, you know, that's what I'm doing today. But on that particular day, when I had my eyes closed and when something would come in and my attention would go to it, I would just say reject. And it didn't have any judgment in it. It was just the word that was working that day. Another thing that I was doing for a few days recently was when things would come in, I would say, that's just mind. That's just mind. You know, one thing that I probably do most of all is I practice self-inquiry. What's looking at this? Who sees this? But I don't concern myself with the form that arises that instructs me to turn my attention away from whatever comes. So, you know, it could be the word reject one day. It could be, I've just said no. Just like the drug campaign, just say no. I've done that. No, no. But it does appear that it is helpful to me to have some kind of a mental verbal response at this stage. You know, maybe at some point I won't need that. But it doesn't seem like right now, maybe tomorrow will be different. It doesn't seem like I can just turn my attention away without some kind of a declaration. That's really what it is. It's like a declaration of non-interest. A declaration that that's not what I'm doing right now. Another thing that's come up several times is I'll say thank you, but no. Right? Thank you, but no. Right? So just whatever form that declaration comes up in works for me. Did you want to say something, Jacqueline?
I thought of something several times. I didn't, if I raised my hand, I didn't mean to.
No, you didn't raise your hand, but I can hear you when you want to say something. So
well, I was thinking you can hear me when I think, so it's good. But it was reminding me of what Inner Wisdom told me earlier, you know, when I get this whole competition thing going, it's like special separate. I mean, just something so you can go, I know that, I know why it's not good, and I'm done with it.
Yeah, and in fact, one thing that just came to my mind, notice how brief they are too. Like you just said, special separate. I mean, that's enough, right? And so it's not this whole long dialogue that you're having with your mind. You're not really engaging it. You're just stating your purpose is really what you're doing. Yeah, you're stating your purpose. And so with that said, I'm going to move on to quote number 3. Wow, I'm doing 2 quotes in one night. Maybe even 3 quotes. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Regina, sorry, would you repeat that cool phrase you just said? It was something about a declaration of something. Would you repeat that? I really like that.
Yeah. For some reason, at this stage in my meditation, although I'm really very good now, let me give myself some credit. Used to, I would sit in meditation, and I might be thinking for a minute, 2-3 minutes before I caught myself thinking. And now I don't even complete the first sentence. As soon as my attention goes to thought, I notice it's gone to thought. So I think that's a major improvement that's occurred. But what I'm not yet able to do is just turn my attention away. I need to do some kind of I need to say something. You know, I mean, I don't say it with my voice, I say it just in my mind, but I need to say something to it. And so, and different things arise again. So like one day at the fall retreat, or not the fall retreat, at the natural meditation retreat, I found myself just saying, reject, reject. You know, I was rejecting what was arising. Other days I might say, that's just mine. That's just mine. Another day I might say, thank you, but no. Or another day I might just say no. Or some days, probably most often, most frequently, I practice self-inquiry. But I think that if I practice self-inquiry all the time, the mind learns how to ignore it. That's really what this is about. The mind learns how to ignore it. So I think the reason I'm given different things to say is because it's fresh enough that it works. And then something else fresh will be given. And then something else fresh will be given, even though they really all have the same purpose, which is to turn my attention away from the thought and back to awareness, back to the looker, right? So let me just read that quote again. And then we'll move on to the next quote. Just stay put firmly and establish yourself in the I am. Reject all that does not go with I am. So quote number 3. Oh, by the way, we had a delivery at the retreat house, so I'll have to run over there and pick it up. Our chairs came just a few minutes ago. So I got an email, so I'll have to run over there. But seeing these guys made me, I'd already forgotten, seeing these guys made me remember. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how are you? Can I make a quick comment?
Absolutely. I love having your comments.
Well, thank you. One of the things that I've found helpful in this whole quest to go beyond words is when something like that arises, as opposed to, because I used to just say, not interested in that, is actually just sense, you know, Nisargadatta, you know, basically describes us as the world existing within us. You know, that is the reality. So I sense that expansion, and I almost see the words without reading them or anything, that I'm the thought almost fracture into little pieces just floating as just part of what is of the that universe that is, you know, for lack of a better term, inside of me, or or that I'm part of the beingness. And that helps me get away from a word. So because any, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I heard you mention that, I just laughed to myself because I've caught myself doing the same thing. It's like, oh, I'm actually, my mind's really kind of quiet right now.
Yeah,
it's really not thinking. Exactly. Well, you know, there you go. You know, just now it's not, now it's not quiet anymore.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you. And that's another thing I have learned, is I've learned to allow my mind to be quiet when it is, you know, so that's good. So there's definitely progress that's happening, and I can feel that there's progress that's happening, even though, you know, the mind is, even though the mind is the one that's trying to get in the way of the progress, the mind is not at all satisfied with the progress. It wants more progress, right? So it's both trying to block it and speed it up. The mind's a funny thing. So here we go. Quote number three. Consistently and with perseverance, separate the I am from this or that. Just keep in mind the feeling I am. And this is the commentary. All this is not as easy as it sounds. It is hard work. Your consistency and perseverance are keys to your success. Separate the I am from I am this, or I am that, or I am so-and-so. All these are add-ons and have been loaded onto you by others in society. All these appendages on the I am may be of some value in your day-to-day living, but if your goal or quest is for eternity, then they are impediments. You will have to separate them from the I am and just keep in mind your sense of presence or the feeling I am. Now, it's interesting because I have read this quote not in this book before. And I remember thinking that I had made a mistake. In fact, I think I even said something to you guys at the retreat about this particular quote. The quote says, consistently and with perseverance, separate the I am from this or that. And the first time I read the quote, I read it as, separate the I am from I am this, or I am that. And then when I went back and read the quote another time, I realized I had inserted the I am in front of the this and in front of the that. And interestingly, that's exactly what the commentary does here. He says, separate the I am from I am this or I am that. And that's what I did the first time I saw this quote too. But that is not what the quote says, although that would be a part of it. The quote says, separate the I am from this or that. And I took that to be more global once I saw it differently, more global. It would mean separate the, to me, it means separate the feeling of I am from anything else that your attention would go to, right? Because not all of the thoughts that come into my mind during meditation are directly about me. You know, I'm not sitting there in meditation thinking, I am a mother. I am too fat. I am smart. You know, I mean, I'm not sitting there in meditation thinking those things. I don't think much in meditation anymore. The thoughts that come into meditation for me have nothing to do with me thinking. Like once upon a time, I would close my eyes and I would start thinking about what I had to do later on today. And like I said, back then, you know, I might be thinking for a few minutes before I even noticed I was thinking because I was so interested. But now very, very seldom does a thought come in that's really, that I would classify as me thinking. The thoughts that come in now have absolutely nothing to do with me, which I think is pretty interesting. I used to get these kind of thoughts occasionally. Now I get them a lot. I mean, they have nothing to do with anything about me. I can't even recall one because I let them go so quickly. But, you know, there's silly things. Like, there might be a thought about a Chinese man rowing a boat down a river, you know? Or there might be a thought about a cat with a pink collar. Or, you know, just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And they're not really dream thoughts, although if I followed them, I think that's where they would lead. But I'm not sleepy anymore. It's just the mind cooking up stuff to try and distract me. It's more like, I think if I follow them, they might lead into dreamlike things, but they're more like stories. In fact, the one thought that I sometimes have at these thoughts is exactly what I just said. Look how the mind can make stuff up, you know? So I am not sitting in meditation thinking as Regina, right? I am actually not thinking, and the mind is throwing stuff at me, anything it can, to try and get my interest in something. So for me, it's about separating that feeling of I am from this or that, whatever shows up, right? I don't want to get interested in the story about the Chinese man in the boat. You know, if I follow that story, something's going to happen to that Chinese man. You know, he's going to go down some rapids, or, I mean, you know, a whole film is going to develop in my mind if I follow that Chinese man. So as soon as something like that shows up, I separate the feeling of I am, or really for me, it's the, I guess you would call it the feeling of I am. But for me, it's really, if I was to use my own words, it's really more the feeling of I'm aware, right? Because I guess because I came in through the awareness, watching awareness slant on this. But I separate that feeling of I am, I'm aware, from whatever the mind throws at me. So to me, that's what this quote says. Consistently and with perseverance, and those are important words, right? Consistently and with perseverance. Don't let a single Chinese man go by in a boat, right? And you jump on the back of that boat and following him. Consistently and with perseverance, separate the I am from this or that. Keep pulling back. Remember what you're focusing on. And just keep in mind the feeling I am. And occasionally, that does happen for me, in that I'm able to just keep in mind that feeling I am. Or like I said, for me, it's more the feeling I'm aware. And that's when the mind is silent and I'm able to hold on to it. And of course, you know, when your eyes are closed in meditation, you don't have a strong sense of time. But I would say for me that those experiences of really just being able just to maintain that sense without any thought at all is still, those are still brief and far between. But, you know, that's why I keep doing this every day for 2 to 3 hours, right? Just like I used to sit and think. You know, when I get done with this, I'm going to do this. You know, and I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I mean, this progress is happening through the willingness to keep doing this. Yeah, George says, don't think about the pink elephant. Maybe the white cat with the pink color. Maybe it was the Chinese man's lost cat. And you never know where these stories are going to go. Well, you do know where these stories are going to go, in the mind. Right, that's their goal, is to get your attention back into mind again. So one more time with that quote: consistently and with perseverance, separate the I am from this or that. Just keep in mind the feeling I am. All right, quote number 4. Only the I am is certain. It is impersonal. All knowledge stems from it. It is the root. Hold on to it and let all else go. All right, this is the commentary. Right from the day you came to know that you are, to this day, you still know that you are. All add-ons have come and gone. They are transient. But the fundamental I am has remained unchanged and is the only certainty. This I am is impersonal. It is common to everybody and wordless. The moment you came to know that you are, you did not know any words or language, which came later. Based on this nonverbal I am, you could later say verbally I am in whatever language you were taught. From this tiny, minuscule I am, further knowledge grew leaps and bounds to gigantic proportions. So all knowledge stems from the I am. It is absolutely fundamental, the base, the origin, the root of everything. You have to hold on to this I am and let everything else go. So again, the quote is, only the I am is certain. It is impersonal. All knowledge stems from it. It is the root. Hold on to it and let all else go. And I did get the sense, although this isn't the only way that Nisargadatta uses the word knowledge, I did get the sense that in this case, he was talking about intellectual knowledge or learning. That that the I am was first, and then everything else is acquired, is really what he's saying. You know, even the idea, you know, I think infants don't know this. People serving observer eyes, they don't know that their body. They know that me, they're. That they have little bitty baby's eyes. They're only aware of pure awareness. I mean, they feel hunger, pain, kind of things, but the thought that I am a body has not. So they learn from the way we speak to them and the way we treat them. They learn, oh, I'm a body. I mean, it doesn't ring in that way because I don't have the language. And I begin to learn, oh, my body's named Jeff, right? People keep saying Jeff, I mean me, I'm Jeff, you know? And I'm there too, but this is kind of solidified in them. And start developing an instance that we don't want them to develop the terrible twos, right? But they had a real firm idea, I'm an independent separate being now, and begin acting like an independent being, and very, very, all of those basic ideas that later we take as common knowledge fact, they actually learned. They weren't born with that knowledge. And of course, we had to learn all kinds of things. I mean, a little baby has no idea whether it's a male or a female. It would never say, I think I'm a boy or girl. You know, it just adds on and adds on and adds on and adds on and adds on. But by the time we're the age that we all are so complex with all the experience and knowledge and history and everything. So it's very difficult. That what we are is awareness, even though that's the only thing natural when we were born, was just being awareness. On so much, and we've believed it so heavily that it's very difficult for us to accept that that's all that we are. So one of the things that might be helpful if you sometime are sitting around thinking is if you start looking at some of what you identified with, like let's say you're a sports fan and you identify with a particular team, you might just look at that and say, well, did I identify as a Reds fan too? You know, that's an add-on. You know, did I identify myself as a recovering Catholic when I was two? You know, identify myself as a Republican or anti-Republican when I was two? You know, just or you know, just kind of look at this and realize, you know, this year-old has the I am the body idea, has the I am an independent person idea. Might even be developing the bad idea, these very, very basic building blocks, but they haven't gone much. So look how much you've added on initial add-ons and realize that you did that. You know, that is not who you're at. And then once you get back to a two-year-old, then you can the body idea and the I am bad idea in a very clear way, because you've gotten rid of all add-ons that you've added on. And you can have new basic ones that the 2 years take and go back to before, you know, awareness. This quote says, only the I am is certain. It is impersonal. And of course, in the commentary, he explains that impersonal means that it's common to everybody and it's wordless. And that's true. But that's not the only thing impersonal means to me. Like I said, when that little baby was born, it didn't have the sense of I'm a person, right? It didn't have that sense yet. That's learned. So impersonal to me is before or prior to the sense I'm a person. It's not just that it's con all people, right? Because then we say, well, hair is impersonal, then everybody has hair, right? It's more than that. It's that it's prior to the idea of a person, prior to that idea being learned and added on to a but only the I am is certain, is impersonal, and that all comes from it, right? And that, again, what he's saying here is everything else that we think we know is acquired. The I am is the root. Hold on to it and let everything else go, right? Hold on to it and let everything else go. Actually, I won't be here next week, but what I'm hoping to do is record a little audio, make it available so it will be fresh, assuming I have time to do that. So that's what I want to do. So what I want to do is jump into this other I've called the final talks. So assuming I get that done, that's what we'll hear next week. Otherwise, it will be something old. I want to record something, so hopefully I will. I'm done.
Thank you, Regina. I'm not sure I got that recorded. Anyway, we'll see later. My internet is in and out, and I even exited the room at some point, not on purpose. So that is our recording day. I can try and play this song, but I'm not sure I have the power to do it. I've probably got more power than I know. So let me... Of course, I lost all that. Awakening, Deva, Prima, because we should end our day with that if we can, because it's so sweet. Here we go. Oh, I got to share my screen. Come on. Where'd you go? See, it's not doing anything. Okay, I could sing it to you. We are awakening. to the calling of the mystic. I'll stop because my computer's not going to do it and you don't want to hear me sing it. I love you guys. It was my honor to be here with you today. And we will be back Sunday morning, right? That's the next day, Sunday morning. We'll start with the meditation with Karen Worth. And then we'll have Helen Avery will be leading our gathering. So that's all of the schedule that I'm going to share with you at this point. Again, thank you for being here. And we'll see you on Sunday. Don't forget, the radio's back up. So tune in anytime. Bye, everybody.